Well, hear now the word of God from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, and one verse from chapter 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." This is the word of the Lord. Well, while I do value the fact that it's the Lord's Day, and so we're in worship because it's the Lord's Day, I'm not unaware or unsympathetic to the fact that most of you, maybe especially the kids, have other things on your mind. You have things waiting for you. And so maybe this is my gift as the preacher to the congregation. It's a very short message today. A short reflection on these things. Say, I have to call it a gift, then you don't expect it every week, right? It's the gift for you today. But it's just very quick reflection, two things from these verses. We want to think about the gift of God and receiving the gift of God. So the gift of God. It's very appropriate to use the language of gift, right? It's not just a ploy because it's Christmas. As we come to these passages that I just read, you see that it's present here. Right? Gifts are things that we give to others, and there's lots of giving mentioned here. In verse 12, Jesus gives people the right to become the children of God. In verse 16, there's this language of receiving from him grace upon grace. In verse 17, this idea that the law was given through Moses, and then the implication that grace and truth are given or come through Jesus. And then in John 3:16, maybe the most famous verse in the whole Bible, we're told that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. Right, this is all just the basic teaching of the gospel. And it's all about the language of gift. That God loves us and has given us Jesus as a gift. But as we read John 1, and you hear about this gift, you see that this is an unfathomable gift. Jesus, the gift of God, has existed eternally. He was in the beginning with God. He is God. And we're told that in his birth, God, the one who made all things, God the Word, becomes man and makes his dwelling among us. Right? The teaching is that God's gift to us is his very self. God is giving himself to us because he loves us. And in giving himself to us in Jesus, God is giving us the gift of salvation, what we've already remembered and celebrated this morning in our call to repentance, our assurance of grace. But right, it's this reminder that the one who is life itself comes to give us eternal life. The one who is the true Son of God comes to give us the right to become children of God. The one who is very light, a very light, enters into our darkness to shine grace and truth upon us. And through his birth, his life, his death, and resurrection, Jesus, God's gift to us, gives us the gift of salvation. That's it. That's the quick point. This is God's gift to us. It's very familiar. I'm assuming most of you have heard this. But it does lead to the second point. Right? What good is a gift if you don't receive it? Right? The presents under your tree are not meant to stay wrapped. They're meant to be received, to be opened, to enjoy. And so we should also receive him. And again, we see from the passage here that this is exactly what we're supposed to do with this word made flesh. We see it particularly in verses 11 and 12, where the distinction made that Jesus comes, he comes to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. And that's maybe a really poignant verse for us to consider as religious people. Because guess what? You're here on Christmas morning. You're probably a religious person. It's possible to be a religious person and know all sorts of things about Jesus and not receive him. Because that's exactly what's portrayed here. That Jesus comes to his own people. The people who for thousands of years had been prepared by the word of God and the prophecies about the coming Messiah, prepared for this one that they might receive him, and he shows up and they don't. To believe in the name of Jesus is how we receive him, John says. And to believe in the name of a person just means trusting in them, but in all they represent. In particular, trusting in the name of a king means trusting in their reign, trusting in their rule, committing yourself to that. And the reason that John is putting this in his gospel, I think, is simply because he's saying that just as those ones did receive him, so can you. And just as he gave those ones who did receive him the right to become children of God, so he will do for you. And so we receive Christ by truly believing in him. And not just in our heads, but in our hearts as we trust in him. And so it's a simple question. Have you done that? Is Jesus a neat idea? Or is he someone in whom you trust? And as you reflect on that, there's one other thing to consider as we think about receiving God's gift to us in Jesus. And just think about the whole idea of gifts. And this is where maybe it is a bit of a ploy, but it's appropriate at Christmas time, right? We give gifts. We give and receive all kinds of gifts. And if you think about just the concept of giving and receiving gifts, one thing that you realize that it's the nature of the gift itself which determines how you receive it, right? Some gifts are easy to receive. Some gifts you just kind of take and don't think about. Other gifts are actually more demanding, though we might not think of it in that language. And in the whole realm of possible gifts, what you see is that the greater the gift, the more need there is to change to truly receive it. Now think about this. I'm assuming today that there'll be lots of children's toys given out. And those are awesome, especially if you're a child, right? Kids' toys are great. But it doesn't actually take much to receive them. Hopefully a thank you, kids. Thanks, mom and dad. But most of us know that in a week, it's going to be on the side, right? A children's toy is something that we receive, and we just kind of add it to the number of toys that are in the room. It's nice. It's not that significant. But moving into the adult mind, imagine a different gift. Imagine that someone gifted you today an all expenses paid around the world vacation. That's a pretty awesome gift. What does it take to receive it, though? Well, you got to change your plans. You got to work things out with your boss. You got to figure things out relationally. You got to totally rearrange your life to receive that gift. Put a pause in your studies, all these sorts of things. You'd have to make major shifts in order to enjoy that properly. Or imagine that somebody said, you know what, I'm gonna give you your dream home. Any style, anywhere. You name it, we'll build it where you want it. I'd have a castle in the forested mountains, right? That's what I would want. It'd be awesome. Secret tunnels, the whole thing. But how do you receive a gift like that? If you're going to truly receive it, you got to move. You got to move in. Might need new furniture, new decorations, or at least a total rearrangement of the ones that you do have. My stuff wouldn't look real good in a castle. If you're following me here, what you see is that the greatest gifts also require the greatest shift of personal circumstances and commitment. They're still gifts, but in order to truly receive them, you have to change. The greater the gift, the greater the impact and change it will have on you and your life. And it's interesting, right? We're about to sing a song in which this language of gift and this concept that I'm getting at is embedded. Let every heart prepare him room. Christmas is a time to remember that God gifted himself to us in Christ. But think about that. How do you receive the eternal God? God in the flesh, the creator and sustainer of all life and all that exists, the God that has so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son to die to save you from death. That is a great gift. How do you receive it? What does receiving him look like? Right, is Jesus the type of person that we invite into our life and we just put him in the closet to bring out when the aunt who gave him to us shows up and we show that we appreciate him? Hopefully not. Is he the type of gift that we take into our life and just figure out where he fits? Or is this gift of God in Jesus the type of gift that we rearrange our life for? That we rearrange our life around? Jesus is the greatest gift ever given. And as you receive him, he will change everything. All for the good, but it will change everything. And so as you celebrate Christmas today, I just encourage you to consider what it would mean for you to truly receive Jesus. Maybe for the first time. Maybe this is something you've heard before, but you haven't really fully grappled with it. Or maybe it's something that you have believed and trusted. But think about what it means to more fully receive him, as we all need to. I, as the pastor, need to more fully receive Christ. Maybe make that your preparation for 2023 next week. What would it look like for you in the new year to really receive God's gift to you in Christ? What would it look like for you to let every heart, your heart, prepare him room? Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your gift. We thank you that in your great love for us, you did not leave us in darkness, in sin, in death, in misery, but you have entered into our darkness, into our misery, taking our sin upon yourselves to rescue us from death. Lord Jesus, help us to know how to be rooted and built up in you so that as we receive you, we might walk in you with thanksgiving. Holy Spirit, show us as his people what it means to have him in our lives, to have him as our life as we wait for his return. Help us to celebrate and rejoice today. But help us to reflect and to be renewed and reformed as Christ enters our life and changes it. And to that end, we ask now, as we come to his table, as we celebrate this gift that he has given to us, this visible, touchable, tasteable reminder of what he has done for us, this reminder that he will one day return and eat with us. Pray that as we come to this table, Holy Spirit, that you would use it to strengthen our hearts. Help us as we receive the bread and the wine, to receive them in faith as the body and blood of Christ, remembering that we receive the Lord himself spiritually. Help us to eat and drink and rejoice in the spiritual food that you give for spiritual people. We ask this in his name. Amen.